Good morning. Welcome to the Roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us on this Tuesday morning, the 30th of June, the last day of June, and it's very nice to have you with us. Let me introduce our panel to you, and then we'll get to the topics for today, and we have several, so we'll talk about that. First of all, let me introduce WAMC's Alan Chartok. Good morning, Alan.
Hello, hello. Are we going to Tanglewood tomorrow?
We are going to Tanglewood tomorrow. We're broadcasting live from Tanglewood beginning at 9 a.m. and concluding at 12 p.m.
And we're going to have all kinds of famous people on the air, aren't we, Joe, besides you? Other
Joe is nodding.
We don't know who they are yet, but we're very excited as to who.
Well, we'll have Keith Lockhart.
We
for
have
example.
Keith Lockhart, and we have Jacques Lecomte.
Jacques Lecomte.
Jacques Legault.
Legault.
Who is conducting an all-American concert?
Yeah,
on,
we'll talk to him about that.
Yeah. And then, of course, the cast of regulars over at Tanglewood, so we're excited about that. All of that tomorrow on the program. But first, we have to get through today's show, and we welcome our panel.
That sounds like we don't relish this time.
We do relish this time. No, but before you go on vacation over to Tanglewood, you got to get through today's show.
Yeah, sure.
All right. So WAMC's Alan Chartok is here. Times Union Associate Editor Mike Spain is with us. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
And SUNY Albany Journalism Professor and Investigative Reporter and the reason that we know our email server works. Rosemary Armeo is here.
I actually got... several notes to my
not
personal
as many
email.
As we did.
Oh, I bet yours were a little more negative than mine. Mine were supportive.
Whatever are you talking about?
We got so many, as you all remember, Rosemary. May have been a little bit more controversial than some people would have liked, saying that she had, we'll let you say it, saying that she admired
I feel compassion and some admiration for the two escaped convicts to do what they did, to accomplish it. This does not mean I condone their criminal acts, nor do I hate the police, although I think they were a little over-equipped and rigged out for capturing two sick, weakened men on foot. However, I feel like Bill Maher. Remember when he said that was not an act of cowardice? You're wrong. To fly an airplane
after
into a skyscraper is an act of courage and kind of some creativity, and I feel the same way.
Well, we heard from Bob in Albany, who said, regarding Rosemary's admiring comments about Sweat and Matt Escape, the backlash they received, it seems to me that the big difference between her musings and America's unending fascination with Wild West outlaws and Depression-era gangsters, most of whom were psychotic thugs too, is that these character stories played out long ago and far away, while what is happening is up close and right now. Bottom line is, in so many other subjects discussed in the roundtable, Rosemary is a woman ahead of her time, which is interesting because when people said, how dare you allow Rosemary to talk on the air, and I write back to them and I say, but what about the other three that you heard who said they didn't agree with Rosemary?
You
weren't even there.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I resent that.
Well, we were taking, eventually, we started taking tally yesterday, about 50-50. I would say it's about 50-50.
Yeah, I mean, you can easily be against what I said and be absolutely correct. I agree with a lot of it. But what I don't like is to think that compassion, worry about what's going to happen in prisons now, worry about the lack of transparency we have in prisons, admitting that what they did was extraordinary, even the governor said that, is somehow teeny bopperish or naive.
Yeah.
I say it with great sincerity and with some thought.
Remember when you used to be the controversial one, Mike?
Oh, yeah. All those years ago. You know, it's getting interesting now, the new phase of this story about the two prisoners who escaped more than three weeks ago, and finally it came to an end over the weekend with one being killed and one being captured after being shot. The person who was shot, David Sweat, is his condition has been upgraded from critical to serious. He's a patient at the Albany Medical Center Hospital here, and he is evidently talking. That's the source of the stories that the governor was telling yesterday, that the two men had planned to get to Mexico. But when their ride, which was supposed to come from a prison employee who they had brought into their plot, she got cold feet and decided not to pick them up when they climbed out of the manhole that morning of June 6th. They decided then to go to Mexico, and then the saga began. But it's fascinating. The two had actually split up about a week ago. David Sweat, who's 35, had determined that Richard Matt, who's 49 years old, somewhat older. I think he turned 50, actually, during this.
He turned 49. Died the day after. Yeah. Was killed the day after his birthday.
Yeah. He was ill. He was slowing him down, slowing Sweat down, and they decided to split, or he just took off. We don't really know all that. And Sweat was actually well-equipped. He was wearing camouflage clothes. He had a bag with some snacks
repellent.
In it,
bug
repellent, some tools.
Pop-Tarts.
That's right, Joe. Instant energy. And what?
Although, looking at the guy, he didn't look like he had eaten a lot of Pop-Tarts in his life.
Yeah, he was rather a slender
guy,
fellow.
Yeah,
and that helped him get through the pipe. But the other fellow wasn't so slender, and he got through the pipe. So it was a big pipe. But I think it was 24 inches, which is pretty big. But the whole fascination with how they cut through a metal wall in each of their cells, got into the bowels of this infrastructure of the prison, were able to climb down several stories, cut into a steam pipe, which wasn't being used in this warm weather, and then climb through it. They had to break through a brick wall, and then they had to use a sledgehammer to break open a lock to get out of the manhole. I mean, how could they do that without a lot of help? And I'm sure people are shaking in their boots up in Dannemora right now.
Now, was there any mention as to how long this had been in the works?
He made a reference to a
long time.
Whatever that means.
But
it couldn't have been just in the last couple of weeks.
No, absolutely not.
And the big mystery here is that Joyce Mitchell, the woman who has been charged with aiding and abetting them, who was an employee of the prison, she was actually suspected of having too close a relationship with them several weeks ago.
Somebody squealed.
The state the corrections department has their own inspector general who began an investigation and ended the investigation without finding anything. Had they done a better job, they might have discovered something here and prevented all of this from happening.
So the big question is, Mike, and you are, as usual, right on the money, is whether or not this is going to go anywhere. In other words, do we have a corrupt prison system? Are COs basically running criminal enterprises in prisons? Is stuff getting in?
Let it be said that Rosemary is
shaking
nodding
her
a very
head
big
vigorously.
Yes.
Yeah, and worse than that, we know that this goes on because it breaks out of the news. You know, Jeffrey Dahmer was killed in prison. That's murder, and it happened in a monitored, the most highly monitored institution in our society. They don't let the press in. The watchdog over government never goes into the prisons. I take it back. Rikers Island has had a burst of publicity, and look what we've discovered there.
Yes, but the question is, what is going to be the correction, and how long will it last? You know, I remember the Knapp Commission back in the day, and there were people who said every time you turned over a rock, there was a cop who was, who was on the take, or as they said in the old days, on the pad. And really it was a hell of an investigation, and then it went away. It went away, and I guess everything is all right now that there are no corrupt policemen.
Well, that's the nature of corruption. You never stamp it out for good. You stop it for a while until they figure out a new way to get around the rules, until they figure out a new scam. And that's why you need constant publicity. You need the press in there.
Okay, the press.
Institutions don't do it themselves.
But let me argue with you. I think what happens is that some of these institutions, like police corruption or CO corruption, are just too big to fail. So that what happens is you put the glare of publicity on it, and it doesn't stay with you. It goes away. Police are one thing, banks are another thing. You say it's the press But the press can walk in at any moment to any institution, prison, mental health institution, and they can do their job, and somebody's going to win a Pulitzer Prize for what they've done. But then what happens? Then there's silence for a while till the next guy does it 10 years later.
It does bring about change when publicity and sunlight is brought down on corruption or mismanagement or problems. But then after a while, it creeps back in. I agree with Rosemary. That's why news organizations have to be vigilant to go back and continue to check. You're never going to eliminate it, and you have to constantly assume that it's going to come back and go back and look again and look again. And that's why it's important for people in these institutions to reveal corruption to credible news organizations so that they can continue to know about them and bring them to the public's attention.
So far, I'm not seeing that happening in this case. You have the governor speaking even for the state police and for the corrections department. That's not good. He's too high up. He does not have the story.
Some people in some editorials in local newspapers are calling for a more independent investigation. The governor's own inspector general is looking into it. Their argument on the second floor is that the inspector general is appointed and it's a fixed term and that is independent enough. Others think maybe there should be a special, like a Knapp commission for the state prison system, right, and appoint a judge. One name I heard suggested would be Judge Judith Kay, the former chief judge of the Court of Appeals. Somebody of that stature who's given resources to go in and investigate this and find out really what happened, what went wrong, and what has to be done. More importantly, what has to be done to ensure that this corruption does not happen again.
Well, you do have something called the FBI, and they're apparently very heavily involved.
Yes.
Yeah, a federal investigation.
That's right. That's news. Yeah, that came out just overnight. It's being reported that the feds are very interested in looking at the State Corrections Commission.
So the article in the New York Times this morning, squabbling, hesitation, and luck had roles in manhunt for New York prison escapees. And this goes back to a story that we had heard early on in the escape, where when the governor arrived on the scene hours after the breakout, that there was some squabbling, I guess, over who should be in the room at any given time, and it was only state officials. And a lot of people are claiming that those crucial hours of moments after they escape, those crucial hours, that window that you have, was closed to them because of some mismanagement in those early hours. And I assume, obviously, that'll be part of the investigation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was some statistic I think I heard here on a day when I wasn't on this program, but others were talking about how many of prison escapes are solved within hours.
Yeah, I think it's 98% within 48 hours.
Yeah.
Rachel Maddow had a big program about that. It's a very small percentage go a week, much less 3 weeks as this did.
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back and then we'll get a few letters and then we'll go to our news. We'll be right back.
Support comes from Charles Padula, DDS, Union Avenue, Schenectady, offering cosmetic dentistry, including porcelain laminates, crowns, implants, and Invisalign orthodontics. PadulaDDS.com. Boyden & Perrin, Amherst, Massachusetts, providing foreign and domestic car, truck, and SUV repair services and a Massachusetts inspection station for over 50 years. BoydenandParent.com. The Hotchkiss School, Lakeville, Connecticut, presenting the Summer Portals Piano Concert Series, July 12th through 26th, featuring Boris Berman, Olga Kern, Fabio, and Giselle Witkowski, HotchkissPortals.org. And Healthy Living Market and Cafe, working to support local agriculture with organic products, community outreach, and jobs. Open 7 days a week at the Wilton Mall, healthylivingmarket.com.
All right, before we hit news at the bottom of the hour, we have time for a few letters, and we have those to read, and we go to Alan for that.
Well, we do. Dear panel, I don't know about you, but there seems to be a lot of dancing around the reporting that the escapee was shot in the torso. It is reported he's making his way to the woods, assumed away from the police, a.k.a. back toward the policeman, and the policeman shot him. Nobody seems to be reporting it, but the descriptions mentioned, the police officer appears to me to have shot the unarmed escapee in the back twice. It's pretty lame that if he got into the woods, it would have been a real difficult to catch. capture him, please. They knew exactly where he was, and a quick cordon off the area would have been sufficient to capture the unarmed suspect.
First of all, we just did the media project today talking about the meaning of words, and I noticed that, yes, he was shot in the back. We're not reporting that. We're saying torso, which is different. It has a whole different connotation. That said, this shooting was completely legal within use of force rules set up by the state police.
And who knows? This guy's been on the run all this time. If he gets into the woods, he's a mile away or a mile and a half away from the Canadian border. He gets over the border. I'm sorry, I don't happen to agree with that.
So we just flip that and say that they have a press conference and they say, well, Officer Cunningham saw the man he believed to be David Sweat. He had eyes on him. He started to run into the woods, and he called for backup and let him go. Now, how will that have
gone? Right. No, I agree with you.
You make a good point, Joe.
I mean, wouldn't we have said, "Oh, you let him get away. You had him in shot, and you didn't take the shot."
We would have regarded letting a convicted murderer who was an escapee, who may have been armed, go free.
Yeah. Right. I don't see...
That's a problem, our expectations. I mean, isn't that why there was so much erroneous reporting the night before when Matt was shot, and there were reports that there was a firefight with Sweat, that they were in communication and sight with him? You thought that one guy had been killed and the other was being chased, and that was not at all... No, they weren't even together at that point.
So they were still chasing him.
Yeah.
Use the word
chase. There was pressure on the cops to show themselves as heroic, as deserving the 1,000-man or 1,200-man force. That is our fault. Yeah.
Well, Paul wrote one and said, "Rosemary's right on. She, along with all of you, live up to great supported conversation. Thanks." The only word in there that I don't quite get is supported, meaning the people out there who are paying for this.
Oh, I thought it meant evidence supported.
Oh, okay.
That we're not just talking off the top of our heads, which I think we always try not to do. That's good. Mm.
We like to refer to credible news sources.
All right. Let's take a break. We'll be back in just a few moments. We'll talk about this a little bit more, have a few more letters, and then we'll go on to the other big topics in the news. And we'll start with our economy. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC. Good morning. Welcome back to The Roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. And Alan Chartuck is here, Rosemary Armeo, Mike Spain, and I'm Joe Donahue, and we welcome your letters. Roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org. A few more letters, and then we'll go on to some other topics.
Okay, so George writes us and says, "I used to work as a crime reporter." By the way, he titled his letter, "The Press Can Be Corrupt, Too." "I used to work as a crime reporter and frequently was attacked by editors and people in the ad department for reporting about crime in the environs of our largest advertiser. So just getting the press into the prisons is not a cure at all." Well, not what do you mean not a cure at all? It might be a cure, but not at all.
Not a complete cure.
Yeah. Does he mean cure all, which is one thing that will solve it? That, of course, doesn't work. But the press is an integral part of rooting out corruption in any society.
And Steve writes, "But what if the guy shot wasn't Sweat?" Well, there have to speak about newspapers. There was a newspaper report that I read somewhere yesterday that said that the officer had identified him, had gotten close enough to identify him. So that's the end of that one. Jill says, "I will assume the cop knew without a doubt that it was Sweat before he shot him in the back. If he only believed it was Sweat before he shot and then shot him only to later find out it wasn't Sweat, that would have been a huge complication. As it turned out, the cop knew what was doing." Mm-hmm. Right? Okay, so that's the end of that one. Is there anything else here? Okay. To Rosemary. "A close personal friend of mine worked on one of these guys' case. If you heard what I heard about the circumstances of upbringing, you would all feel compassion. As with most of the residents of our penal system, they are responsible for their actions, but far from blame for the persons they become. As it says in the Bible, you will know the tree by the fruit. P.S. Listening to your show online over the WAMC app and loving it just gives me a moment to say, go to WAMC.org, download the app. And you will be able to hear it in Italy or Colombia or the country or in Puerto Rico, you know.
Wherever you may be.
You can. Mark says, good morning, panel. Corruption among corrections officers can be explained by the old saying, power corrupts. Corrections officers on the job are in a position of absolute power over prisoners. Therefore, corruption is inevitable, and that's thanks from Mark. Dear panel, I don't know about you, but there seems to be a lot of dancing around in the reporting that the escapee was shot in the torso. It was reported he was making his way to the woods. Oh, no, we did this one. I'm so sorry. I think we did this one. Okay. And I guess that's it for now, Joe.
All right. So let's go over to other topics to discuss this morning. And we'll begin with the effect that all that was happening in Greece and Puerto Rico had on the markets yesterday, on the stock markets. Markets fell as twin defaults loom in Greece and Puerto Rico. I'm looking to see
where we are today.
Is
yeah.
Now. It seems like
it's up
100, right?
Yep, 95. Yep.
Okay.
A little bit of recovery from being down 300 yesterday.
Yes.
Over 300, yeah.
Greece appeared likely to default on its debt Tuesday, sending financial policymakers in Europe and the United States scrambling to ensure that the turmoil in Athens does not escalate into a broader financial panic. U.S. stocks faced their worst day of the year Monday, with the Dow Jones Industrial Average plunging 350 points. It was part of a sell-off that spanned three continents after negotiations between Greece and its creditors broke down over the weekend, and Athens closed the nation's banks. And meanwhile, Puerto Rico became the front of a new crisis, with the governor saying in a televised address Monday evening that the island could not pay back at least $73 billion in debt. Obviously, not something that happens overnight, right?
Yeah. How did that happen? How did they get into that much debt?
Did somebody not carry the one? What happened there?
They spent more than they had.
For a long time.
Yeah. A lot more.
You know, I've been watching Puerto Rico for years. Fascinating story. And Operation Bootstrap back in the day, when the whole idea was to allow Puerto Rico, which was a poor place, to do better. All kinds of tax breaks were given to do it. There's always been this incredible push between statehood and commonwealth status and independence, which is the third thing. And one wonders if any of those others had been allowed or voted for.
Realized.
Realized, that's a good word. Whether or not we would have had a different outcome. I doubt it, but it's possible.
Well, there's probably people now who would like to cut them off. You know,
sure.
Because this debt is gotta in some way come back to the U.S. government,
the feds.
At least some of it. Sure.
I'm impressed by how much of the problem has to do with their having this weird status, commonwealth status, rather than a state. They pay tons more for oil, even though oil is at an all-time low price in the United States because it's shipped so far away. And then there's this whole deal that you can only ship in by the merchant marines if it's from one American port to another. So while goods to all islands cost more because of shipping, they cost much, much more in Puerto Rico because of that rule. And yet there seems no way to get around it, make an exception, help them out.
Well, there are lots of ways. The Congress can basically, in its wisdom, and the president in his wisdom, decide to make good for them. And I think that there's every indication that, unlike the euro and the Greeks, that's going to happen here, that sooner or later the federal government is going to step in and say, okay, this is a part of this country.
And these are American citizens.
Yes. Yeah. So the governor of Puerto Rico is seeking a deal with lenders and urging Congress to pass an unprecedented law allowing the U.S. territory to file for bankruptcy, something the White House for the first time encouraged lawmakers to consider. So what would bankruptcy mean?
Well, it'd be like major cities. It'd be like Detroit.
Yeah, Detroit.
An overseer exactly. would come in, and there would be a plan to settle with each of the banks, the creditors, right? And they would get X percent on the dollar, and over a period of time, through austerity and this plan, they would climb out of bankruptcy and be back paying their debts again.
Do we believe the situation, as some economists have said this morning, is contained?
in Greece and in
I've been reading a piece about what journalists need to know about the Greek banking crisis, which is pretty interesting because it mostly centers on, will it affect us? Right, are we in trouble? Right. Do I have to change
my
whole?
I went down 300 exactly. points yesterday.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I want to retire someday. You know, or do I have to take a look at my my
portfolio
mutual funds?
And see
yeah,
it, right.
I wish it was so sophisticated to be a portfolio.
Well, you know, it always comes down to people. As I said yesterday, we were treated in Thessaloniki when we were there, Roselle and I, to dinner by some people, both of whom were college professors, both of whose, one who's still teaching, the other, his pension had been cut dramatically then, and they're asking for more now.
Start cutting pensions, that's sad.
Yeah, because there's very little alternative.
How can you have any security when you don't know what your future holds?
This has been a long time coming in Greece, and I think some of the European creditors hold responsibility for it. The size of the debt is enormous, so why do they keep lending money when the structural problems in Greece were pretty well known? One is horrible tax collection. Many, many people do not pay their taxes there. That would solve part of the problem right there.
Right, but it's been a cultural...
Exactly.
You know, the result of years and decades of people just cheating on their taxes.
Right.
It's part of it. Yeah.
Well, that's fine for the decades past, but now when you have a debt to collect, you can't do that.
But how do you change that behavior
when
it's in a way of life all this time people don't pay their taxes, and now all of a sudden you're going to say, okay, if everybody paid their taxes, A, this wouldn't happen, and B, it won't. We can
well,
resolve
it. Well, let me
see
you pay yours first, and I'll pay mine. I mean, that's what's going to happen.
So it takes a government that requires it, and instead you have a government in Greece that said, oh, this austerity is hard. We don't want to do it.
Well,
and
it is
it
hard.
Kind of
Alan, did you see any of the impact, other than the people you met whose pensions were in jeopardy? I mean, did you see it in the streets, unemployment?
You did.
What did you see?
I didn't see unemployment, but I can tell you, Thessaloniki, which is a beautiful city, it's really wonderful. There were constant marches with tin cans and people beating on kitchen utensils. So there is and remember, this has been going on, as Rosemary said, for quite a while. So there is this understanding that there are choices to be made, and a lot of people who are protesting, particularly the protesters, are those on the bottom of the socioeconomic scale.
That's where it hurts.
Mm-hmm. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll continue with more stories. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. WAMC Let's try it again. Roundtable at WAMC.org. There we go. We'll be back after this short break.
Support comes from Adirondack Creamery Ice Cream, crafted with local milk, cream, sugar, and eggs, and no artificial additives. Flavors such as white-faced mint chip and black raspberry are available at Adams Fair Acre Farms, Whole Foods, ShopRite, and coming soon to Hannaford. AdirondackCreamery.com. Anise and Associates, helping businesses, agencies, schools, and hospitals in the Capital Region understand and move to the cloud. Providing a cloud readiness assessment at ANNESE.com/Albany. The Carey Institute for Global Good presents the Catskills High Peaks Music Festival featuring Yehuda Hanani, August 9th through 20th in Rensselaerville, New York, careyinstitute.org. And Noble Home, Shelburne Falls, Massachusetts, custom-designed panelized house kits featuring eco-friendly passive and solar design elements, noble-home.net.
The Supreme Court ruled on Monday against three death row inmates who had sought to bar the use of an execution drug they said risked causing excruciating pain in the process. Two dissenting members of the court, Justice Stephen Breyer and Ruth Bader Ginsburg, came very close to announcing that they were ready to rule the death penalty unconstitutional. This gave rise to slashing debate with Justices Scalia and Thomas about the reliability and effectiveness of the punishment, a dispute that overshadowed the core issue in the case.
I will remind you that 2 from 9 leaves 7. So it doesn't sound like they're all there by any means.
Well, 5-4 decision in this case yesterday.
Of which they were in the minority, the two.
Yes.
Well, it's still Kennedy probably would be the swing vote, would have to come over and say the death penalty is cruel and unusual. And the fact that he ruled with the conservatives on this one, I think bodes ill for his making a switch. He seems to think the states are within their rights to off certain criminals, that they're just so bad. This is the way to do it, even if it's at the cost of possible excruciating pain.
I have a broader question. In the last week, there's been a lot of 5-4 decisions. I mean, the one that allows marriage equality in all 50 states and affirms the rights of gays and lesbians to marry was 5-4. Actually, the Obamacare one was 6-3, which was a little stronger. But when all of these cases split right down the middle like that in a sharply divided court, it doesn't, you know, the opponents, the ones who lose, the ones who are unhappy with it, kind of feel like in the future we can bring it back up. We'll bring that case again. We've got to look for the right test case down the road after, you know, if Hillary gets elected, there'll be more liberals on the court.
Or I may correct, just yes. to take a shot at that,
yes.
or Hillary doesn't get elected.
Or Hillary doesn't get elected, there's more conservatives on the court. Yeah. They could reverse Obamacare, or they could, reverse, gay marriage. Probably not. Well, you know, that's what people are saying. And, so these...
But isn't that the truth, Mike? I mean, it's hard to think of a big, important, landmark changing decision that wasn't 5-4. And yes, it can come back. Abortion hasn't gone away.
No, abortion hasn't gone away. Brown versus the Board of Education.
Well, that was a different Chief Justice.
Right.
That was a different Chief Justice, a Republican, a conservative, who knew how to mobilize his court in the right direction, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think there's going to be people taking another shot of Citizen United, back in 2010 when they said that you can pretty much give as much money as you want to any political campaign without having to account for it, And a lot of people think that needs a constitutional amendment. And there's actually a movement to get that going, but that takes a long time.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's move on to some presidential politics for a moment.
I hear there's another Republican. We didn't have enough.
The 14th. The 14th GOP candidate, the 14th official GOP
candidate. Formally announced candidate.
That's right. Is Chris Christie, who is going to enter the race. If you looked at a year or two ago, he was riding high in the polls. It almost seemed more like a coronation than anything else. And... then there was a traffic jam, and that kind of stopped. So now he prepares to jump into the presidential race today, no longer the favorite, and still having, as articles in the Washington Post and in the New York Times indicate this morning, dogged by scandals and plummeting popularity in his home state. And the donors that he had lined up are fleeing. And so what most of these articles say is that the one thing it leaves him with is his personality.
Which can be mercuric by some people's definition.
Well, people like that. And people like it when you're Donald Trump and you get up and you say, "Vote for me, I'm rich." Literally said that.
Yeah.
Vote for me, I'm rich.
Which, by the way,
ISIS, right?
Most candidates could get up and say, including even the Democrat.
Yeah, but $9 billion. And even though Mike has some severe questions about that $9 billion.
Well, it's been reported that out of the $9 billion, $4 billion of that figure that Donald Trump claims to be worth is the value of his name brand, Trump.
Yeah.
And it's perhaps an exaggeration.
Yeah, but still, $1 billion is a lot of money.
Does he exaggerate?
Donald Trump?
Yeah.
So basically, he got up and said, "My pile of money is bigger than yours," to everybody.
It might be interesting to see a debate in which Trump and Chris Christie go at each other.
Well, they both would have to poll high enough to get into the 10
they both seats. I think they both will.
You think Christie will?
I think there's a very good chance. He'll cross over that bridge and he'll get there.
Well, what's the end game here? I mean, it's pretty difficult for somebody like Christie, given his polls in the state of New Jersey and the Bridgegate scandal that seems to hang over him still, to overcome that. I mean, what does he want to be on the ticket? Does he want to be a broker for other candidates? What's the idea?
You know, Mike, it has often been said, the reason you got 14 Republican candidates is that this is an open election. You don't have an incumbent, which is always has the best chance of winning. And it's often been said that the people who run have a number of advantages, but they are all after the golden ring in this best scenario. If Hillary gets elected, you have the chance, just using that as an example, if she gets elected, that she'll win a second term. So that this is the time you go in, because if you want to be a politician, this is your best. This is your best shot, and they just can't let it go by.
I understand the individual motivation, but isn't there like a chairman of the Republican Party or someone sitting down and say, "Okay, let's get our act together." 14 candidates and more coming. There could be 20 at the end.
No.
This is not good. It wasn't good for the Republicans the last time.
No,
they tried to avoid
pandemonium.
It. They used to call it the six pack, you know, and now half a case of.
And there will be held to pay because of this business about who gets in the debates, because there will be an awful lot of disaffected Republicans who are really angry that their person has been excluded.
The other thing, too, is I'm curious, we're talking about personal motivation, but what is Trump doing? I mean,
yeah.
Well, they have to treat him carefully because
fired by NBC yesterday, which is the big story.
NBC
today,
Universal fired him. Yeah.
Yes, because of the comments that he made about immigrants and Mexico. And so, as you said, he has the pile of cash, whether it's $4 billion or $9 billion.
Whatever.
Still a lot of money.
It's real money.
Once you get past a billion, you're up there.
Yeah. Seems like you're okay, right? We don't have to worry about you.
Yeah.
So,
he doing?
Here's a guy that could really lose his brand, too. I mean, it could do more damage than it could do anything else, couldn't it?
Mm. Mm.
Yeah. Well, the other issue is
because
whether
he's becoming a laughing stock.
Well, if you read the Daily News, they call him a clown and a jerk on the front page.
Well, some people
all the time
are pretty harsh about Donald Trump, and maybe he brought that
on
himself.
Well, you say becoming. I mean, I think that's the point. I mean, to even buy your own press enough to believe that you should go into the race and not, and then that wouldn't happen. I don't know.
Well, initially, now maybe because of this flare up over his incredibly. Just despicable comments about Mexican immigrants and painting it with a broad brush and portraying them as rapists and thieves like he did. Maybe that'll change things. But initially, he was polling in the double digits in New Hampshire, second only to Jeb Bush. And if that many people, apparently embrace the idea of this independent billionaire, somebody who's made it on his own, who's come from rags to riches, except, you know, he wasn't quite that. But that image has helped. That's what got Ross Perot going back in 1992. And the worry is that if the Republicans don't include him, he's going to get angry and go out and start a third party.
Could be.
Or an independent run, and that will just completely end any chance of a Republican
winning. I think Trump simply is a news junkie and has a massive ego, and he does like being in the news. He does like causing all the things that people say about me when I say controversial things, I think really applies to him.
Yeah.
He likes it, and I don't think he wants to go through the work of making a new party or of campaigning for the Republicans.
He'd like to delegate people at his campaign announcement.
Sure. Yeah. Joe, I wanted to ask you, what was the name of the guy who was on my poor addled brain, who was on the television all the time and was anti-immigrant? And Lou Dobbs. And, he made a big career out of it, but then sort of went away.
Yeah, it was very short-lived.
But you got a lot of publicity. I think there are a lot of Americans, disgustingly, as Mike says, who are going to buy it. They're going to buy it.
I mean,
the nature of prejudice.
But watching him in a lengthy interview is very, very difficult. And because you just think to yourself, well, there really is no substance here. Some of the individual clips are funny, where he says, I'm for traditional marriage, and the interviewer said, does that include your four marriages? that traditional? And
said, yes,
someone's
been married four times, they believe in marriage.
Yes,
he said, but I was working too hard in those days to be a good husband.
We are talking way too much about Donald Trump, so you know this is going to get turned around to the media did this.
Right. Well, I think he can take the credit for his outcome.
Yes, but I do think it brings it back to both Alan and Mike's point, which is, okay, we can say this, but yet the polls are what they are, at least in New Hampshire.
And it is only June of 2015 when the
election
is November
name
of 2016, right, name recognition, et cetera, et cetera. But he could be a factor. And the Republicans have they have to handle him well, or they're going to have more problems. If they don't include him and alienate him, there might be a disaffected bunch of people who think he ought to be included. And, you know, they just have to play that with all of these 14 and plus candidates, because there's more going to get in soon.
All right. So let's go over to some letters as we end our hour together.
Okay. Stephen, the Donald. The only doubt I have about Trump could be answered by him taking the ice bucket challenge.
Did he not take it? I thought everybody did.
Okay. And
he'd pay someone to take
it. Yeah,
right. A long letter, too long, from Phil, who says, I'm a retired police officer. I do enjoy WAMC and look to NPR and BBC for more unbiased reporting on issues of the day than some other outlets, which shall go unnamed. As I tuned in moments ago, it seemed that some of us believe that the police should have created a perimeter to capture sweat alive. This is unrealistic, but I believe I also heard it said by you, parenthesis, in defense of the police, actually, that the shooting was based on rules set up by the state police. That is inaccurate and reinforces the belief that the police make their own rules. The rules, in quotes, are based on law created by a democratic republic, in other words, the people. Please consult the New York State Penal Law for the justification of force and specifically deadly physical force, section 35.00. You can Google it, and that's all I'm going to read.
I misspoke. I meant rules that the police operate under.
Yeah,
that's accurate.
I think it's a good letter. Yeah.
And Stephen says we did that one, and we did that one, and here. Joe says, Puerto Rico voted in the 2012 plebiscite to ask for statehood 54-46. It would become the 22nd largest state. However, the big obstacle would be the Republican Congress, who would presumably lose 4 Senate seats because they'd have to make Washington, D.C., I guess, a state also. That's the way it goes. That's why we got Alaska and Hawaii at the same time, because they knew it was a trade-off.
Balance.
They knew there was a trade-off. And, Joe, if there's more, I don't know.
I think we're out of time anyway,
yeah, okay.
And there's a whole room full of people with smartphones and young people with smartphones and a politician. So I assume you're up next, sir.
I'm going somewhere else now.
Okay. We'll let you go over there. They look very, very official looking.
Yeah.
Yes. So, Alan, Ron. Rosemary, Mike, thank you very much. We'll be at Tanglewood tomorrow. The group will be back on Thursday for the panel. Thank you very much. We'll be back after this.